All right, everybody, welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast for all of you long-time subscribers here. And I say long time, we've only been doing this for a few months, but we are enjoying the content that we are putting up on the internet for you. Whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, we would appreciate if you would subscribe to us. And also, feel free to head over to our website, casashaw.org. And you can also follow us on Instagram at @Casa_Shaw. And feel free to like our Facebook page, too, as well. Search us out there. I am Jeff Warren. Tracy is not with us this week, as she usually is. We have one of our amazing Casa volunteers with us to talk about his advocacy and really how he has made a difference in the life of the individual that he has been advocating for quite some time. We've got one of our super advocates here, Mr. Joe Young. How you doing, Joe?
Fine, thank you.
It is great to have you here in our office as the holidays are here, but we really wanted to talk to you about best practices, you know, best practices of being a CASA volunteer and really kind of talk about your story as well. How long have you been a CASA volunteer for?
So right before COVID, so it'd be probably in September, November of 19.
And you've had one case, correct?
One case since that whole time, right.
One case, and I know that this particular individual that you've been advocating for, because you've mentioned it at our CASA cafes before, had a lot of different placements, moving around a significant amount. And you have been with him the whole time. So can you kind of talk to us about it, how it started from the beginning for you?
Right. So I was assigned the young man who was, I believe, a sophomore in high school at the time.
Right.
And since then, he has been in a different placement every year, sometimes two in the same year. He's finally going to the same school 2 years in a row, which is, again, new for him.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
It's a new school every year.
Right. It must be so incredibly difficult for him going from school to school, not having that secure place that he can feel like is kind of his own. I know you talked to one of our recent CASA cafes about educational components of things that he has been through. And I think when we talk about best practices within the foster care system, especially within the world of CASA, you understand what it is, especially from an educational standpoint. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of those challenges and how you've been able to overcome some of those challenges?
Sure. Well, and we're still trying to work on overcoming them. But
yeah, that's true. It never goes away, right?
Right. So not only has he been in different placements, but he's been in and out of school because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right. So when I first met him, he was attending school full time and doing relatively well in classes. And before that year ended, the pandemic hit and school closed for the last 2 or 3 months of the year. And as a result, he, like most, a lot of other kids, zoned out and did not participate in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the end of the school year. And he wasn't in a home setting where there was the incentive and the encouragement behind him to do the schoolwork.
Right.
So he kind of disappeared from everybody's radar. And again, there was a threat that he was going to lose credit for a number of classes that school year. So that's when we first stepped in and identified people within the school district that would be champions for him and would work with us.
Let's pause for a second there. You needed to identify those people within the school district,
right,
that were going to help him, because there were individuals that really didn't want to help him, right, to try to succeed, to pass his courses. So that in itself was a challenge too, right?
Right.
Finding those individuals that,
right,
really wanted to help him. So go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So we did. We identified that the guidance counselor, school guidance counselor, was very, very helpful.
Yep.
And a couple of the teachers. And so we managed to get him full credit. He did a little extra work finally at the end to get credit in the rest of the classes, because he had been in school for 3/4 of the school year.
Right.
And had been passing his classes. So the idea of not letting him pass because of the number of absences at the end of the school year and didn't make any sense. The next year was more of a challenge, because now he's in a different setting. He was even less helpful and less friendly than he was the previous year.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't attend in person the entire school year.
Yeah, yeah.
And the place where he was at didn't monitor, again, whether or not he was attending virtually.
Right. So again, he's just kind of falling by the wayside,
right,
at this point within the educational system.
That's right.
Yeah.
And again, there were a variety of things that were going wrong in the placement where he was at. So he wasn't being reinforced. He wasn't being helped. And his signing in and signing out of classes was, again, random.
Very sporadic.
At best. So then we get to the end of the school year again, and we've got people who are saying he's flunked the entire school year. And I'm going, you can't do that. When he goes and when he's set up, he's doing well. And so the first meeting we had with the child study team said he's flunked school year. He can't go to summer school because if he didn't do well at all during the school year,
right,
the summer school is much more fast paced.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't be any good for that either.
Right.
So I said, no, we can't. We can't do this again. So again, we identified a couple of people that were going to be helpful. And we got him to pass two classes, one by doing a little extra work in one class. Because again, when he did attend and sign in, he was passing. I mean, he's not somebody who needs a lot of help in school. He can do the work and do well.
Smart kid.
Yes.
Smart kid.
He can do the work and do well.
Right.
And we did manage. We got him an online summer school course, which was initially told didn't exist in English.
Good Lord.
And although it took him till the last 2 weeks to actually do the work, he finished the 10-week course in 2 weeks and got an 82 in the course.
Yeah.
So again, he could pass the course. So we got him passed in those subjects that he would have had to repeat.
Right.
So we got him into the senior year now, where he was up to date with his classes, classwork, and that he's scheduled to graduate on time with the rest of his cohort.
Right.
But in the meantime, he had nobody advocating for him as a parent in school.
Right.
And so this is where things were a little different for me than usually happens with the CASA advocate, is that I had recommended a couple times in my report to the court that somebody be appointed as his parent.
Yeah.
In dealing with the school district. And somehow or other, they came up with my name.
Well, you understand advocacy very well here, Joe. I can understand why.
So, I'm sitting on Zoom in the court hearing,
right.
And I'm hearing the two attorneys saying that we've given an order to the judge for your approval that Mr. Young will be appointed as the surrogate parent. That's the first I'm learning about it.
Incredible.
So it's worked out pretty well since then. He's been doing really well in school.
Fantastic.
And we got him through the help of with DCPMP, mm-hmm. got him an advocate to help him negotiate the financial assistance in applying for the FAFSA thing. And
his
school counselor is working on getting him applying to college, which he's very much interested in.
That is fantastic. Going from just not going to school, not having that foundation, to now the potential of going to college, there's something to be said for that. And I think what you can say for that, and not just necessarily with this particular case, Joe, but other CASA volunteers too, whether it's with our program throughout the state of New Jersey, throughout the country too, persistence and trust are two different words that I think are so absolutely critical when it comes to best practices for CASA volunteers. You certainly have shown that, you know, the persistence that you have continued to show within your case has then allowed for the trust to happen between your CASA youth and yourself. How have you felt in general about how the process has manifested itself in terms of your advocacy? I mean, I can't imagine that you thought right before COVID that this would be where you would be at with your advocacy, maybe with this particular individual, correct?
No, or with any individual.
Yeah, right.
Because one, again, you don't expect to get a teenager, right?
I mean, right.
Right. And somebody who's been not in a foster care resource parent situation at all. So it's a very different situation to start off with. I've been very encouraged about the fact that we've gone from one word answers when I go to visit him to now conversations.
Right, right.
But again, with him, it takes time. So you do have to, I mean, the longer you can spend with him during any interview, you're going to get more and more out of him.
Yeah.
And sometimes the situations are just not set up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this fostering friends thing with the fostering futures.
Fostering futures.
Where we're looking to being able to spend more time in more different settings with the adolescents would be a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah.
Because the situation is really tenuous. And the one thing I'm concerned about is about the age out. is that any minor setback may break this whole thing.
Right.
While he is resolved to do these things, I think any kind of little setback may upset the apple cart, and we may have to it may send him off track.
Exactly. And I don't think that's necessarily out of the ordinary.
No, I think it's...
when it comes to the world of foster care, I do not think that's something that's out of the ordinary. We continue to see it time and time again with various cases here at Casa Shaw and again throughout state of New Jersey, throughout the country as well. When it comes to best practices, though, Joe, if there are individuals listening to this who may just are starting their own CASA journey, what is some advice that you are able to give to those individuals to say, okay, yes, to gain that trust, like I was saying, you have to continue to be persistent within their lives. That one stable adult, you know, that's the tagline, and that's, of course, what you have been to your CASA youth. What are some best practices that you could just tell new CASA volunteers or folks that need a little refresher as well?
Well, you obviously said it. Persistence is one of the key things.
Yeah.
I mean, you indicated, so I've only known him since 19, which is in his journey is not that long.
2019, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'm the second most stable person in his existence since that time. His attorney and me are the people who have known him the longest now.
Yeah.
Everybody else has changed. The DCP and P worker, clearly all the people involved, the residents, therapists, all that have all changed just in the time, multiple times in the times that I've known him. And I think honesty is the next thing. You have to be honest. You can't promise things that you can't deliver, and you have to be honest about what you're trying to do. And you also have to let him know what other people aren't telling him.
Right.
And it's amazing. So everybody else is very busy. Everybody else is overloaded in the system. There's no question about that. So even things about who's expected to show up at the hearing is not always communicated to the child. And sometimes it's important that somebody either be there or not be there, and to let them know about it before it happens. So being open and honest and persistent, I think, are the really main things.
I got to tell you, Joe, it was great talking to you here about your particular case, best practices here as well. Is there any other advice that you could give to our CASA volunteers and just individuals who are listening to this who want to learn more about the foster care world before we head out of here? Is there any advice you can give, my friend?
Well, be prepared for almost anything.
There you go.
and be prepared that you may have to be the one to make everybody else talk to each other and get the system to work.
There you go.
I've been involved in these kinds of systems for most of my career. So you know that something is going to screw up. And even when I was working, my job was to make sure everybody else did the job that they were supposed to do.
Right.
And that's kind of the CASA worker's job here. It's not to do everything, but to get other people to do the job that they're supposed to be doing.
That is a great way to end this CASA Connection episode. Joe, thank you so much for joining us here this week. And hey, I'd love to talk to you again here on CASA Connection, my friend.
Anytime if I survive. Thank you.
All right. If you're new to the CASA Connection podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are on. If you're on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate if you would follow us there. CASAShaw.org is our website. And we'd love to hear from you. If you would like a particular subject to be talked about and discussed here on CASA Connection, email us info@casashaw.org. Tracy and I would love to talk about whatever you want to talk about out there. Take care, folks. Have a great holiday season, and we will catch you on the next one. Take care.